Hello and welcome to Pards Prep. I'm your host, Brad Potts, Assistant Athletic Director for Peak Performance, and I'm here with our co-host, Dr. Julie Amato, sports psychologist, and Sophie Carr of field hockey. Sophie is here to explain a club that you just started,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just
Pards Overcoming Adversity?
Yeah.
Okay, and just tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so started this club kind of at the end of last year and getting it up and running now. So basically came together as a group of athletes who had been injured in the past and kind of opening up now into being a bit of overcoming adversity, either mentally or physically, in whatever way that the students would like it or need it. So basically it's a peer support group to come together and discuss more of like the mental aspects and emotional aspects of these physical long-term injuries. Because kind of looking around, we had a lot of resources for the physical component of it, but I think like lacked more conversations about like the openness of how some student athletes can deal with these problems. So we found it really helpful just to come together and talk peer-to-peer about like first-hand experiences and what it's like going through these processes, what it's like within certain teams and sharing ideas and how to help each other with that. We're also hoping to set up like a buddy system, so we pair up together to help with like food, transportation, and different things like on crutches. It's not a very accessible campus all the time with that, so kind of helping each other out with that, helping keep each other mentally engaged with their sports and how to really stay out if you're one of the only injured people on your team, trying to find the balance there within understanding kind of your role in the team and how you can make the most of that time, because often I found it was like a blessing in disguise for me, but I couldn't see that for the first like 6 months of the injury. So
yeah, no doubt. The part that you talked about when you first brought this up to me that was really appealing, I felt that it was a great point. It was just, you know, we have found so many ways to address like physical injuries and deficiencies, and you know, if a kid's hurt, you know, they're put on a rehab plan, and I mean, but there is a big mental impact, and
yeah.
That's why we have Dr. Julie Amato here today.
Yeah,
the emotional and psychological impact of injury, Sophie, as you know firsthand, and you know, many of our athletes have gone through, is huge, and it's often unaddressed. And it's partly because, look, when you have a physical injury, we know what that is. We've got the diagnostics and, hey, this is the length and course of your rehab and your treatment, and it's all very cut and dry and predictable in terms of the course. But mentally and emotionally, what an athlete goes through when they're injured, particularly long-term, can be pretty grueling and unexpected. And so, you know, we do have resources here, and you know, part of what happens, I think, and you can speak to this from your personal experience if you'd like, but you know, when your sport is taken away from you, that's a big piece of your life, your identity. So depression can set in on that, irritability from not getting all those like feel good drugs and chemicals to your brain with exercise, feeling a little isolated, left out. And then the anxiety of like, is this going to get better? Am I going to be back to where I was? You know, trying to return to play and have the same confidence. And so these are just some of the struggles that the injured athlete goes through. And so I'm really excited that, you know, I feel like you're partnering with me here, Sophie. You know, I'm seeing kids in the office one-on-one to help them cope with this, but to be able to have a group that you can be a part of to get, I mean, especially some of those logistics of just getting around campus is huge. I don't know, Sophie, if you'd be willing to talk a little bit about, you know, the mental emotional impact of injury for you and kind of, you know, what really made you want to get this group together based on that.
Yeah, so we actually talked about it a couple weeks ago, but when I first kind of dealt with this injury, the first reaction was there's this like massive stigma around like mental toughness kind of within athletics, and it's meant to be this like big glory that based on being mentally tough. So for me,
like you can handle it, right?
You're meant to be able to handle
push
it.
Push through.
It's a physical thing. Why should it like enter your mind? So I think that was the biggest thing for me. I looked down, I saw the physical injury, but I didn't understand why it should affect me mentally. And so kind of basing the first few weeks, I kept hearing from like my family and saying to myself, like, this is just something like you kind of get over and like it's the first step and you kind of adapt now. It's just a different role, a different lifestyle, which is totally like a good way to do it. But
did you ever have an injury, like a big injury?
No, okay. Never. Yeah. So
that's probably part of the equation, right?
Yeah. I think like thinking that you're not supposed to feel all the mental like, aspects of it, and the huge like thing is the identity piece of it. I never realized that because like you're still a part of it the whole way. So you're still an athlete. You're still at every practice. You're still doing all the lifts, and just it's a different type of it, but being not part of all the training sessions and not feeling that sweat and all the other things that come along with sport is just like does take away from the identity piece of it. So I think for me, I didn't notice how much that was affecting other aspects of my life, and within like just my personal life, within friends and family, I just was like retracting and felt so much less confident to be myself, but just purely didn't feel how I had felt before, and I didn't feel like myself. And I think that really kind of led its way into myself. And then finally I talked to Abby Resnan on soccer, and she was a really helpful resource with that, because she had gone through the same thing just not too long ago, and hearing that from a peer that's like absolutely normal is like shocking because it should be something that you think, okay, of course everyone goes through this, but you kind of end up thinking, no, this is just my one reaction to it. And then opening up when a freshman of mine got injured last year, it was so helpful to work together with her and just kind of open that up straight away, the conversation, to say that is so normal, that you're not going to understand a single thing that's going through your head, and it's okay not to understand that and to feel that way.
Right.
Do you think that some of it's like, I mean, it can affect everybody differently, right? If they haven't had an injury before. If they had an injury, I mean, ultimately, you kind of want to gear it as like a learning experience, right?
Yeah.
like a little bit of practice that, like, once you get old, like myself, you're no longer identified as an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, it can sort of help. You know,
just
the
to be
future
clear,
transition.
We expect to get injured.
Yeah. Right.
We're surprised when we're not injured.
Right. If I
ran
up
the other day, I'm
good.
Surprised I'm not injured.
Yes. Yeah.
Got
wake
a
up,
bit alive
feel
today.
Good. You're like, I'm probably gonna die. You don't know why you feel good. You don't. It's that's the scary thing, like feeling good. We talked about that this morning with women's basketball. They're in here, like, someone were kind of like, the old saying, like, youth is wasted on the young only means that, like, you just don't know how good it is until you realize how bad it can be, you know? So,
but we digress.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what I've seen in my experience is that when kids have either been injured before, they have either had a support system, all right, like you're trying to set up here, mm-hmm. with parents and people around them in high school or something, and, you know, like, they've maybe not identified, like, it's, I don't want to say, so many athletes, their identity is through their sport to such a high degree. Mm-hmm. I think it helps here, being that you guys are real student athletes and you do take academics seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it impact people on the other side who really haven't taken academics seriously. I mean, feel like, you know, they're going to play their sport forever.
Yeah.
It impacts them even harder, you know, I mean, to where it's spiral into real, real deep mental health issues. But, you know, it's a learned process, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you get injured. Luckily, you were able to kind of pull yourself out of it and progress, you know, but psychologically, I can't really speak, you know, to in depth on it, but I mean, those are the things that I see, that, you know, when that identity kind of gets pulled from them, you know, when the attention, and it's not bad attention, I mean, it's a good thing, right? The attention from the coach and the praise, and it's like, if that's pulled all the way at once, I mean, it could be, I don't know, it could be pretty impactful, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and maybe you can help us with this, Sophie. I know you said a couple months went by before you really started to recognize you were losing yourself a little bit,
yeah.
and being more withdrawn, but would you have any suggestions for the athletes listening in terms of, like, you know, as Pot said, you know, how can you not lose yourself in your identity,
yeah.
and how do you establish some kind of role within the team? You know, because I hear a lot of athletes say it's really difficult for them to go to practice and to
yeah.
just watch,
yeah.
you know, so what would you say to that? I mean, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I think that is, it's incredibly difficult because all you kind of do is the minutes tick by and you just think about, like, what would it be like to be out there again? But I think you kind of can see a timeline in your head, and it feels a bit overwhelming if you don't know how to break that down. So something that we were trying to set up is a conversation with the coaches that, like, right away when an injury does start, kind of connecting with your coach and saying, what is the role that I can now take on in my team, and what do you expect from me, and what should I expect from myself with this way? And kind of see, is it going to be a bigger leadership role from a freshman, get their vocal abilities up a lot more and get their confidence built up with the seniors on their team, and kind of put them into situations where they have to lead a team session, and that's a huge task for them. Or whether it's like a physical piece, it's more commit to your rehabilitation, and is that going to be the extent of your practices for a while now, and like focus on getting yourself better? I think it really depends on the person and where their commitment is at the beginning, where their commitment to the team is, and how much they want to be involved in every practice, if that makes them feel like they are more connected, or if it hurts them a bit more on the mental aspect, especially earlier on, and kind of seeing how that goes on. I think the main thing about like pulling away, it gets scary when you just kind of shut down and people don't want to come towards that, and they don't know how to like really address you in that way. So like teammates pull back as well, because when they see you pulling back, they don't really think that they have the ability to talk about these certain things or know what you're going through. So like talking to you might not be super helpful, but that's another conversation we're also trying to open up, is just how people around you and around someone who's injured can just open a conversation, because I think that's the biggest thing. When you start to lose kind of how you feel or who you are, you just kind of stop being your own teammate, and you don't really know how to interact in that way, which is just from both aspects, not knowing at all what way the other person wants to deal with it.
Through your experiences, have you seen like, is it differ from like personality to personality?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like some people are just a little bit, you know, more laid back, and it's easier for them to pull away. I mean, can you speak of any instances or I mean, even just kind of describing like yourself, like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like you're pretty outgoing, you know what I mean? And I don't know if I could necessarily see you withdrawing. You know, maybe you thought you were a lot.
No.
But I know, even talking, I talked to Plunk this morning about it a little bit, just to, and it was like, no, like she worked her ass off. Like, you know, in his mind, it was like, you know, you did. Like, I mean, you
folks,
you went
we
after
don't have
it.
A sensor in here, but you
know? Right. Yeah.
He meant behind.
Well, right. We can edit, you know. But, like, in your mind, like, what, like, how withdrawn were you, or how?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, looking now, if I were to get injured tomorrow and have the whole thing, I would think a million times I wouldn't shut down. There'd be no way that I could withdraw, but I, like, really did. And in the way that I worked with Plunkett and with my coaches and stuff like that, when I was in a space where I could, I knew that, like, in this weight room, I was getting better, and I felt so motivated with that. And when I was out on the field with my teammates, I was so motivated with that. But so in those moments, I felt like I was working towards something, and I felt confident that way, and I didn't feel withdrawn. But the minute I walked off the field,
purpose.
I lacked, well, not even that, but when I walked off the field and all my teammates had blood on their knees from sliding and had sweat on their faces, and they were all talking about the training session and talking about, God, their legs are heavy, and just different things like that, I didn't have anything to contribute. I didn't, like, I knew what that felt like, but I didn't feel like I worked with them for that. And then after games, I had a different role, and after a while, I got so comfortable with that role. But at the start, like, I kind of didn't feel like I had the ability or, like, that I should be contributing to that, because I didn't really do anything on the field. And then it just became more and more off the field in that way, that with my teammates, I just felt detached to them, because there's something about being on that field and, like, no matter what purpose it is, but working next to them and feeling like you, like, really put everything you had down next to them, and then that, like, just contributing to off the field.
And
as
you
well.
you had family support. I mean, even though you're an international student, I mean, you said your family had come over, right?
My family was awesome. My dad he's worked with athletes a lot, and it was funny. I talked to Dr. Julie about this, but our first conversation was, he said the same exact thing as I thought was the right thing at the beginning. He said, like, this is not a mental thing, and, like, don't let it enter that fort. And so, like, my head, I was like, block it out. Like, we're not accepting the mental stuff. And the more I blocked it out, the more I was like, why am I feeling this? So when I was feeling it, I was, like, panicking, because I was like, this shouldn't be entering that way. So I ended up withdrawing a lot, which it ended up being into the summer, which was, I think, really helpful in that way, because I then, helpful and not helpful, because I was then taken away from the sport. So, like, I wasn't able to put myself into a different role, because it was just kind of doing your own things. And I, like, then let myself kind of detach a bit from the team. And I think that's when it got a bit, like, reversed. But then I came here for the summer. Right after the surgery, and I worked in the sports med room all the time and with Steve, and that was so helpful, because that got me so much more on track. And I then set my purpose and knew, like, okay, I have this amount of months to do exactly these things I need to get my body from here to here. But I also then realized, like, my mind is going to take twice as long to get back to where I, like, want it to be, in terms of just, like, genuinely who I am and how I want to be in the team. That just came from a lot of conversations with my coaches, and then honestly with my teammates. I just kind of broke it down then, like, reached out and said, like, I know things have been super different, but just in a way that, like, I put myself there and I've isolated myself, but this is what I, like, I hope to help from both of us. And that was just, like, so helpful, because a lot of my teammates said, like, I didn't even know that this is, like, something that entered your mind. Like, I never came across that way, because if you look at someone and they're, like, smiling, you'd never think that there's something behind that.
And you're always smiling. But, like, I mean, you're kind of leading to, like, now the gain. Like, you're going to get from every struggle, right? I mean, you're going to get there's going to be a plus side to it if you're resilient and you find a way through it. You know, like, looking back, like, what do you think? I mean, if you think that, hey, the physical part maybe wasn't as difficult to get over, I mean, the sort of the mental part, I mean, can you go into some depth as far as, like, was it mental from the, like a game awareness tactical standpoint, or was it more just like, I mean, what were the thoughts in your head and some of those sort of things?
During the process?
Yeah, coming back, like, say, first full practice, like, athletic trainer's like, look, you're cleared.
Yeah.
You're good to go. Like,
I think that's, like, that was wild. Just kind of entering that, kind of knowing, like, okay, my body's ready, like, 100%, and kind of hoping the mind's there, too. So stepping out, like, it's just, like, an overload of emotions and kind of knowing, like, stepping back on the field. You've watched this. I've watched this every single day for the past 9 months, and I've kind of been through it all, and that was so helpful as well. Kind of being able to be on the sideline is a gift because you get to see all the tactics and everything, and, like, it's such mental training for that way. So kind of stepping into the game, I think it at first was just an overload of, like, expectations for myself, and, like, I expect that if I'm physically ready, like, I should be back to where I, like, just stopped. And obviously that's, you're out of practice just being in the situation. And then knowing, like, okay, I have two defenders on my left, but also, like, hoping that my knee's going to hold up for this. Like, if I turn around and, like, kind of trusting that I don't need to, like, think about that, and I can focus on the other things. And what's really nice about our team is that we hold each other to a super high accountability standard. So
yeah,
I knew that
do.
There was going to be no treatment difference in that way. So kind of the first practice back, I did hear, like, come on, like, what are you doing? And in my head, I was like, okay, we're back. Which
well,
in
that,
a way
but that
is, like,
makes you feel good a little
really
bit,
good.
Right?
I was like, there's no need to kind of favor that way at all, or, like, treat any way different. So straight back, I was kind of just realizing, like, all right, I'm back, and there's no need to think that I'm expected to do anything less or more, but it's just, like, you're back and start working. So it took me actually a long time to kind of just get comfortable with myself, to be like, you don't need to expect that you're gonna be perfect right now, and, like, know it's gonna, like, you're gonna mess up, and you're gonna be overwhelmed with things, and you're gonna be out of practice in certain ways. But how I'm responding to that way, it just is, again, like, I feel a lot more mentally strong, not tough, but stronger, in the way that, like, the way I now respond to things is, like, I just kind of accept and reset and reset and reset, and just keep trying to thinking, like, this whole process happened for such a reason, and don't kind of just go straight back into thinking, like, maybe, like, negative mental thoughts when I'm realizing, like, I'm not up to the scratch that I wanted to be coming back now. It's like, giving yourself that leeway.
No, I mean, I can relate again, and then hopefully Dr. Julie can kind of weigh in. Like, I remember I redshirted a year. I had a knee injury, and the first game I played, I was not in great shape. It actually ended up being, like, statistically the best game of my college career.
Oh, wow.
I think so much of that was, like, I actually – and I think you were kind of alluding to this a little bit, like, I actually enjoyed that feeling. I can remember coming off the sidelines after, like, a long drive and sitting there and being exhausted and actually loving that feeling for first time in my life. Like, I felt exhausted, and I was like, this is great. Like, I haven't felt this forever, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I never pushed myself in training quite as much as you have to sometimes in sport, but is there, you know, standards and protocols or what are your ideas as far as, like, you know, how do you get that feeling back sort of mentally? That's sort of the physical. I mean, like you said, you know, releasing those hormones and stuff like that, you get that. But, like, if you're struggling to get it back mentally, like, what are some of the maybe ideas or tools that you would equip somebody with?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sophie brought up a great point. So did you, Brad, about, you know, sometimes injury in a weird way is a blessing if you have the ability to put yourself there to think of it that way. Nobody wishes to get injured, and we're not trying to say that. But it sounds like you went through the spectrum of, like, hey, I'm withdrawn, to, like, now I'm, like, a huge advocate.
Right?
Now I created a program, like a peer group. So, I mean, you really went through the whole spectrum. But when both of you talk about return to play, there is an actual psychological component to that. And I think one big piece of it, as you said, Sophie, is sort of managing your expectations, being gentle with yourself, with self-compassion, because it's unrealistic to expect that just because you're medically cleared, and as you said, Potts, the doctor says, hey, you're good to go. It's really unrealistic to expect that you're going to be right back to where you were pre-injury. So I think self-compassion is a big part of it. You have to break it into a one day, one practice at a time type of approach. And Potts, it's no surprise to me that you would have had your best performance after coming back in a way, because maybe it's sort of like, hey, I'm back, I'm excited, I'm grateful. I think athletes develop this sense of gratitude after being injured. And, you know, Sophie, you said you saw people all banged up and bloody. Normally we wouldn't think that's something we want, but you're like, man, I wish I was all bloody like everybody else. And Potts, you're like, man, I really wish I could
I remember going to, like, the tailgates or, like, or walking through, you know. So, like, I on game day, when I redshirted, you know, I'd walk to the game from where I lived, and you would see all these people excited about the program and, like, they're tailgating and all these parents and stuff, and, like, you know, and like, it was weird because you never see that as a player. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're always in the locker room. You never see any of that stuff. All, like, the excitement and hype going on around, you know, the sport and stuff, and just I remember and, like, just letting that kind of fuel me. Like, I can't wait, you know, until, like, they're showing up to see me play. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I like you said it, if you can see it in that light, I guess. I mean, maybe that's where that was the blessing for me, that, like, I viewed it in that light. It was never a view of, like, oh man, they aren't here to see me play out. It was always this idea of, like, I'm going to be back, and when I'm back, like, they're going to show up to see me. Yeah. Like, you know, so it was like an excitement, you know. There just wasn't ever really a thought of the other side, but I can imagine, you know, if that would settle in on somebody, that could be pretty detrimental, right? I'm just...
Yeah, everybody's different, and I think your friend Abby gave you a great gift when she normalized that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of normalized that process of, like, man,
because, like, Dad said, no, it doesn't work like that.
This is not mental.
And calling back, like, 3 months later, you go, oh, God. Totally wrong.
But you spent all this time, Sophie, feeling guilty about that and kind of ashamed for feeling the way you were feeling, or kind of confused about how you were feeling. Like, man, I shouldn't be feeling so bummed.
Yeah.
But look, how would you not feel bummed when you're injured? Yeah. I mean, you're a young person. You take your health for granted in some ways. You don't expect these things to happen. So I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a good spot. So I think we got excited, Potts, because we had a guest.
Yeah.
We're yammering on here.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good time to circle back to this group and sort of ask, you know, how can student athletes get involved? You know, and maybe, you know, and I don't know, to Coach Potts, if you have any recommendations with respect to, you know, the rehab piece or anything mm-hmm. else. But how can we, you know, get athletes more involved, and how can they join your group or become a part of it?
So it's going to be now that when someone does get injured and they're heading into the sports medicine room, that Dawn is, like, kind of our point person in there, and she's going to hopefully just direct someone, kind of knowing their personality, and just link up with one person in the group and just let them be able to talk about it and see if this is something they're interested in joining. Even if they're not, because I know not everyone is going to be interested at all, but just that conversation is there, that they can link up with one person, even just have that conversation go on for in the next couple of months and get as much of that out of it as you need. And then also just hoping, like, a couple of my teammates that had different types of injuries and, like, concussions or maybe more short-term injuries, even, like, 1 month or a few weeks, they're interested just because they've, like, watched different people go through this and they want to be a part of it in that way. So kind of we're also getting a couple of ambassadors that just want to be a part of it just to understand more about it. And so any student who does want to, and I think it's just going to be referral in from word of mouth, and pretty much every team is going to be able to know about this, and we have friends in different parts of it, so a bit more word of mouth, and just hope that it can be a part now. It's like education, awareness, but also just general support, and once you're kind of a part of this or know more about it, it's just then you can connect one-on-one with people you feel comfortable or that's helpful in that way.
Yeah, I think that the thing that field hockey has, I think Coach Stone has done a great job of creating a healthy culture, mm-hmm. A balanced culture.
Yeah.
You guys have, you know, you always sort of take on the identity of your head coach in some way. You guys have embraced that. And, I mean, I think that speaks to a lot of the success that you've had in the past and you're having this year, you know. And, you know, ultimately, I guess where we can sort of cut this off, I guess, is, I mean, it basically, like, we're looking at results, right? I mean, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, like, we all want to win.
Yeah.
We want to win more. And this is something that, like, I certainly identified as soon as you brought it up as, like, this can help, you know, so why not, you know, I mean, let's do it. And I think it'll even sort of, you know, it'll sort of speak to different teams' cultures and, you know, how much they are committed to being successful and getting the most out of, you know, their experience and their time here, to not let these, you know, sort of setbacks inhibit them, you know what I mean? Just it allows them to, you know, grow and use it as that kind of experience. So We're running short on time. Do you want to do a tip of the week, or do you just want to keep it in Carly's email?
Yeah, I mean,
that looked really nice. Did you see it?
It did look good. She sends out a beautiful email.
I know. That's what I know. I sent her an email. I was like, that was really, really good.
Bursting with information. Yeah. And so props to Carly on that email, and thanks for including me with the tip of the week. I do not have a formal tip prepared. However, what I would say, given the nature of the topic, is, you know, when you go into the training room and you've got an injury, you know, definitely consider joining this group. Definitely consider scheduling time with me. Just understand it's a normal part of the process to maybe experience some kind of alteration in your mood, perhaps some anxiety around return to play or just being injured in general. That's very typical. It's expected. But, you know, the ways that you can kind of try to prevent that, I mean, get outside as much as possible, stay around people, resist the urge to withdraw. You know, you want to stay connected and engaged as much as possible. Take those mental reps because you'll feel more confident upon return. And just take it one day at a time, you know, control the things you can. We don't know exactly when you're going to come back or what it's going to be like. So keep your focus on the things you do know and that you can control, and you'll be much better off in that way.
All right. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. We're shaking hands. You can't see that.
I was going to say.